Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear an inspirational message from Savannah Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I'm excited to dive into the Word tonight. I know that God has something for you. I really believe that God has a word for you as you start 2019, that there's something He wants to speak to every single person in this room. And the title for the message tonight is Begin with the End in Mind. Begin with the End in Mind. And when I think about beginning with the end in mind, you know, I think about being a runner. I think, you know, I had a little phase in my life where I was a runner. It was a phase. It was very short-lived. I had some friends, and they somehow convinced me to run a half marathon. And it was short-lived running spout. I did one marathon, half marathon, and then I was like, peace out. I'm done. Running isn't for me. So all you runners out there, I just salute you. I admire you. You guys are amazing. But I did it for my friend, and I remember going to the half marathon. I'm thinking, why did I do this? And it was in winter, which is a great time to go running. I guess it's better than summer because you get really hot. But you know, we started off, and they're like, pace yourself, Savannah, pace yourself. I'm like, why do I need to pace myself? They're like, you want to finish. You want to finish, because I'm the type of person, I'm like super, you know, I'm like, I can do this, I can do this. But they kept saying to me, pace yourself, you're gonna get tired. And so I had to think, the end, I had to focus on the end. I had to pace myself so I could finish. Because as a runner, if you start off too fast, you're gonna get tired quickly. You're gonna lose steam. You're gonna lose energy. So if you wanna finish, you have to think, you have to have the end in mind. You have to think, I have to pace myself. I have to be strategic about this, because it's not how you start as a runner, actually. It's how you finish as a runner in order to get to the finish line. You know, the same is true for our lives. It's not really how we start that is as important as how we finish. We have to start with the end in mind. And we're going to look at a passage in 2 Chronicles 16:7. And it's about a king, Asa. And he started really strong. If you go to 2 Chronicles 14, you see that, and we're going to look at that as well. But he started off super strong, and something happened, though, in the 36th year of his reign. Something drastically happened. But prior to that, the hand of God was upon him. Judah was blessed. He was the king of Judah. And it was blessed because he was wise and he was honoring God. And you know, they were experiencing prosperity. They were experiencing peace. They were experiencing abundance because he was honoring the Lord. And this is what it says about the nation of Judah in 2 Chronicles 15:12. It says, then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all their heart and soul. Then 2 Chronicles 15:14 through 17 says this. They shouted out their oath of loyalty to the Lord with trumpets blaring and ram's horns sounding. All in Judah were happy about this covenant, for they had entered into it with all their heart. I want you to think about that. I want you to make note of that in your Bible, that phrase. They had earnestly sought after God, and they had found him. And the Lord gave them rest from their enemies on every side. It's a beautiful picture. God's hand of blessing was upon them. They had peace. They had prosperity. The people were honoring the Lord. You know, Asa had asked them, hey, we're going to get rid of all the idols, all the pagan idols. We're going to commit as a nation to wholeheartedly serve the Lord. He was so committed to serving the Lord that actually his mother was an authority figure with him, but because her heart wasn't fully committed to the Lord, he banished her. He was like, you know what? I am so serious about this that my mom's not even serving the Lord. I'm getting rid of her. He was serious about following the Lord, and because of that, God's blessing was upon him. But something drastically changed 36 years into his reign, and we see his life begin to unravel. we see things change and his heart change and the way he thinks change. And it doesn't just affect him, but actually it affects the whole nation of Judah. And what happens is Judah comes under attack in the 36th year, in his 36th year of reign. And rather than seeking the Lord, King Asa actually panics. He's nervous. He's not sure what to do. And so he's surrounded by this army, and they're actually not allowing the nation to get out. Like, they're completely blocking them in. They're surrounded. Their ingress and their egress is blocked. And Asa panics, and what he does is he responds by removing all of the silver and all the gold out of the temple of the Lord. And he ends up paying off a king to attack the king that surrounded them. Because he knows, you know, I think that king is stronger than me. So if I pay him off, he actually can help me out. And so he ends up taking matters into his own hands. And that's kind of how it ends in chapter 16. But the last, one of the last phrases actually in that chapter is, not only does he take matters into his own hands, but then the writer says that Asa developed a disease, an incurable disease, and he actually ends up dying. And so it's kind of a tragic story, because this king is, you know, honoring God, Judah is experiencing blessing and favor, and then it ends in such a sad manner. And you kind of think as the reader, what happened? How did this all unravel? What happened to this prosperous nation, this godly king who decided then to kind of veer off and go his own way? What made him do that? He started well, but then he ended poorly. He started strong and he ended weak. And, you know, the sad thing is that would be the opposite of God's heart for Asa. God had plans for Asa. God had a future for Asa. God wasn't done with Asa. But Asa chose the ending to his story because he didn't start with the end in mind. You know, and the reality is true for you and I, that God has plans. He has a purpose for you. As, like we talked about, as you step into 2019, he has it actually all mapped out, which is so encouraging to me, that God has a plan for my life for this year. He has a plan for your life this year. But you know, the fact of the matter is, if we're gonna walk in that plan, if we're gonna walk in the blessing of the Lord, then it's up to us It's up to us to have the end in mind, to be focused on the ending, because scripture makes it very clear that God wants us to go from glory to glory, that he wants us to go from strength to strength, but it matters how we live. It matters not just how we start, but how we end. So I want to look at some lessons that we can learn from Asa's life, lessons that led to his demise that, you know, the writer put in here so that we don't have to make those same mistakes, but we can learn from his life. And we're going to look at 2 Chronicles 16, 7 through 9. And the writer lays these lessons out very, very clearly for us. What caused Asa to miss out on God's best? Let's look at it. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to King Asa and said to him, "Because you have put your trust in the king of Aram instead of in the Lord your God, you missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and the Libyans and their vast army with all their chariots and charioteers? At that time, you relied on the Lord and he handed them over to you. The eyes of the Lord looked to and fro." The eyes of the Lord, I changed a little bit. "The eyes of the Lord searched the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. What a fool you have been. From now on, you will be at war." So what did Asa, what does this passage show us that Asa did that caused him from, you know, ending, from starting stronger than how he ended? And the first one is he began to trust more in himself than he did in God. He began to trust more in himself than he did in God. The writer says, at that time, Hanani the seer came to King Asa and told him, because you have put your trust in the king of Aram instead of the Lord your God, you missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. You know, when you look back at King Asa's life, he really did have a track record of seeking the Lord. Like I mentioned, we looked back at it. He loved God. He desired God. He sought after God, and his life wasn't, there wasn't like there wasn't any trouble, but when he faced trouble, who did he run to? He would run to God. That was his past. That is what he had done. He had made that a habit of seeking the Lord. But over time, something shifted in his heart. Over time, he stopped doing that. And maybe you've heard it said that when competence goes up, dependence goes down. And maybe Asa had got a little too comfortable. Maybe he thought, you know what? I've been king for a few decades. I got some things under my belt. I've had some victories. I've made some really good decisions. I think I know what I'm doing. I think I know how to handle this whole thing. I think I'm smarter than God. And he began to get a little prideful. He began to get a little cocky. And his reliance on God began to diminish. So rather than running to God when he was surrounded, he ran to himself. He ran to his own personal knowledge, his own personal wisdom, what he thought was best, instead of looking to God for insight and wisdom. And it's incredible how easy this actually can happen in each one of our lives. If we are honest, it can happen to us, can it? We can start out trusting God and saying, you know what, God, I trust you. When we're facing a problem, God, I trust you. And maybe you don't get the answer, and you're like, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. And then you keep waiting for the answer. God, I'm going to trust you. And you're like, maybe I need to come up with a solution to this problem because God is it. And we can kind of think that. Or maybe life's going great, and you're like, life's going great. I got this. It's a breeze. And it's just little by little by little by little by little, our dependence on God becomes less, and our dependence on ourselves becomes more. You know, it's just thousands of small decisions towards self-reliance. You know, it's thinking, I don't know if I need to spend time with the Lord today. I'm kind of busy. And the next day, I don't know. I'm kind of busy. I don't know if I need to pray today. I got this. I got this day figured out. I got it all mapped out. And little by little by little, our dependence on God is weakened. And we have more confidence in ourselves than in him. And then when we face big obstacles, when we face challenges, because we're not accustomed anymore to running after God, we just run after what we think is best. And we can so easily be like Asa. If we're not careful, we can easily trust in ourselves more than we do God, little by little. You know, I think that God would say, just like he said to Asa, if you're in this place tonight and you're facing something and you're like, you know, I'm looking at 2019 and I'm coming into this year and I'm bringing the same issues I had in 2018. And, you know, I think I'm going to really solve this. I'm going to figure this out. I have a plan. God is saying to you tonight, pause. Pause. Push the pause button for a moment. I brought you in here tonight to remind you that, you know what, you're going to miss out on my best if you try to figure it out. You're going to miss out. Your plan might seem good, and it actually might work, but you know what? My plan is so much better than your plan. You know, God's ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much better than our thoughts. And so, you know, pause where you're going. You might just need to stop. You might need to just say, you know what, I'm not going to go anymore. I'm not going to open my mouth anymore. I'm not going to try to figure this out. I'm going to pause, and I'm going to trust the Lord because I don't want to miss out on what he has for me this year. I want to receive all that he has for me because he has a plan, and he wants to help you. God wants to help you tonight. He wants to work in your situation. And you see, the question isn't if God wants to help you. The question for you is, do you want his help? Do you honestly want God's help? And when we trust in ourselves, we're saying, God, I don't need your help. But when we look to him and we humble ourselves before him, that's saying, God, I want you to help me. And he says, you know what? I see you. I'm going to help you. And he's going to come quickly to your aid, and he's going to meet your need. Well, secondly, we see, the second thing we see that Asa did is he forgot what God had done for him. He had forgot what God had done for him. Look at what Hanani says to Asa in verse 8. Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and the Libyans and their vast army with all their chariots and charioteers? At that time, you relied on the Lord and he handed them over to you. The second downfall for Asa is that he forgot. He had spiritual amnesia. He completely blocked out what God had done for him in the past. Completely had forgotten it. He forgot it so much that God had to send someone to him to say, hey, Asa, do you remember this? God had to send someone to him because he had completely forgotten. He had forgotten that God had delivered him and Judah from a vast army. You know, the Ethiopians, they had 1 million warriors. It was almost double the size of Judah. And God actually came in and he delivered the Ethiopians into the hands of Asa, and it was a miraculous victory. But Asa had completely forgotten that. So when he comes up against this next battle, he doesn't remember what God has done for him in the past. He doesn't remember. It's not like deja vu to him. He completely forgets. He's not like, oh yeah, God helped me in the past. No, he completely forgets what God has done. And we can so easily forget what God has done. We can all have spiritual amnesia if we're not careful. We can all lose sight. You know, going in 2019, we can all forget what actually already, we can forget what God has done for us in 2018, right? We're faced with a new problem and we're like, oh no, what are we gonna do? And God's like, hello, I helped you in 2019 or 2018. You're here, aren't you? You made it. You made it to this year. You're here. I'm with you. Can't you remember that? And the psalmist knew the importance of remembering the faithfulness of God. He knew the importance of recounting God's goodness. And he says this in Psalms 103:2. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he has done for me. You know, if you want to see God do miracles in 2019 in your life, if you want to see answers to prayer, if you want to see breakthrough in your life, if you want to see, you know, victories, if you want to have testimonies, it starts with you remembering what God has done in the past, because that will build your faith. Nothing will build your faith to see God do something in your life in the present like remembering what God has done for you in the past. Have you ever been overwhelmed by your circumstances? And when you sit down and you start to recount the goodness of the Lord, and you start to begin to write out, you know, God helped me here. God provided me a job here. You know, God met my need here. God saved my friend here. You know, God came through here. What happens to you? Your faith is automatically built when you start remembering the goodness of God. But when you forget, you automatically feel defeated. You automatically feel helpless. And that's why Asa took matters into his own hands, because he had forgotten that God was the one who fought his battles. God was the one who gave him victory. But he had completely forgotten that. And that's why he took matters into his own hands. And the third and final lesson that we learn from Asa is this. He quit wholeheartedly seeking God. You know, we read that. We read that at the very beginning that, you know, the people were heart and soul after God. They were fully committed to God. But something happens, and as the leader of Judah, Asa stopped. So he stopped, and who else stopped behind him? All the people. They stopped being wholehearted to God. And 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are what? Fully committed to him. What a fool you have been. From now on, you will be at war. Why? Why will he be at war from now on? Why was he called a fool? Because he wasn't wholehearted. Because his heart was divided. He had allowed his heart to get crowded with other things. He allowed his loyalty to go elsewhere. He allowed his loyalty actually to go to himself. He was more loyal to himself, what he wanted, what he thought was best, than to God. You can't serve two masters, right? You can't be, you know, fully committed to God, but then actually want your own way and your own plan. You have to be full on. Say, God, I'm all in. God, I want whatever you want. But Asa, he had allowed his heart to drift away, and as a result, the whole kingdom, the whole nation drifted away from what God would have intended, what God would have wanted to do in their lives. And you know what? This wasn't the first time Asa had heard this. This wasn't the first time God had sent someone to Asa to say, hello, Asa, you need to be fully committed to me. I want to bless you. No, actually, in chapter 15, God had done this before. 2 Chronicles 15, 1 through 2, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, you will be found by him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. God is telling Asa the secret to blessing. And he hears it not once, but he hears it twice. And it's not rocket science. God doesn't make it hard for us. He makes it actually very simple. I'm so thankful God does that. And the secret is, if you seek me, you will find me. And that's why it's so important what you're doing tonight at the onset of the year. You have all said, you know what? I'm committed to seeking the Lord. I'm committed to being in the house of God. And you know what God does? He says, I see that. Because the eyes of the Lord search to and fro, not just back then, but actually right now. God is scanning this room. God is looking and saying, who is fully committed to me? Who can I bless? Who can I put my favor upon? Who can I strengthen tonight as they're in my presence? I am scanning this room, and if they just seek me and they just look to me, I will pour out my blessing upon them. Because that's the heart of God. He's a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a God who wanted to help Asa. His heart was broken that Asa didn't seek him. His heart was broken that Asa drifted away from him. You know, if Asa would have just come back, if he would have just, you know, said, God, I'm sorry, you're right. But that did not come out of Asa's mouth. And so it was a tragic ending. And so this is a picture for us tonight at the start of 2019. God is saying, I want you to finish strong. I want you to finish strong. I have amazing things for you, but you have to start this year with the end in mind. You have to set your heart to seeking me. You have to set your heart to trusting me. You have to set your heart to remembering what I've done for you. And if you do that, if you're fully committed to me, I will pour out my blessing upon you. I will answer you. I will provide for you. I will meet every single need that you have. You can count on that.